I encourage you, if you haven't already, you can find your sermon notes in your bulletin. Helpful to follow along and jot down things that you might want to remember or review or think about. And on the back, there are encounter group questions, which you can use individually or get together with others in encounter groups and go a little bit deeper. But the last 4 weeks in all of January, we looked at this idea, I want to believe but, of challenges that keep people from believing, the barriers that even can keep us from believing. But I want to not just end there of saying, well, here are all these challenges, but I want to say, what's next? I believe, but what do I do now? That's sort of the next thing is now what? Is the next thing. So you want to click on that, Josh? Go, there we go. I believe, but now what? Of, okay, how does this impact my life? How does this make a difference? How do I live into this more fully? So to start this, we're going to look at Mark chapter 9. Jesus and three of his disciples had been away from the rest of the disciples. And they came back after having an amazing spiritual experience. And the other disciples are there trying to hold down the fort while Jesus was gone. And there was this crowd there. And a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus answered, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And the spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He is dead." But when Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. This is the word of the Lord. So, I will just clear the air that, yes, we would see that's a grand mal seizure today. They didn't have that diagnosis or the treatment back then. And Jesus is coming in and saying, "I can make a difference here." But in this, we see a struggle. That there is a very real struggle going on here. A struggle between belief and unbelief. And we have that struggle too. I think almost all of us can relate to, I believe, yeah. And so this struggle is there. And to get into this idea of struggle, I did a little research and I found out about TWIF. Has anybody here heard of TWIF? All right, so what is TWIF? Well, it's four letters that stand for something. It stands for the Tug of War International Federation. Who knew, right? And not only does this Tug of War TWIF Federation exist, they have a nice promo video. So let's learn about Tug of War right now. All right, that's all you get. If you want to learn more about TWIF, you can Google that. All right, but TWIF, the tug of war, they are working to get the tug of war back into the Olympics after 100 years of being out of the Olympics. But I bring this up because life is a tug of war. There is this pull in our lives, and I think sometimes we feel more like the rope than anything else. You know, that there's this pull between what we want now and what we want most. There's a pull between the truth that we know and the lies that are so seductive. There's a tug between the spirit within us and the flesh that is us. There's this tug of war between belief and unbelief. You know, I want to believe, but. So what we've been looking at is there's this tug of, yeah, but. And really what we talked about, Hal, is a lot of our unbelief about God is about a God that doesn't exist. A God who's just up there as a killjoy to zap you when you do something wrong and make a bunch of rules that you can never follow. A God who is completely heartless and just doesn't care and let you go through anything and everything. A God that, you know, it should be like Santa Claus but isn't, and how does that work? You know, so we've got these things that sort of can keep us from believing, but when we start to peel those away and say, who really is God? There is a God who we really can believe in. And that's what I want to look at first is who is this one true God? And think about the nature in almost contrast to some of these misperceptions and ideals that just aren't right. So the first one is that God is supreme and sovereign. So if you want to write that in there, God is supreme and sovereign. You know, why believe in a God who isn't big enough? But the true, one true God is over everything and has it under control. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when we can't understand it, even when things seem like they're going horribly sideways, God is supreme over it all and is working through it all. And so that's the first thing is, you know, well, if you're going to believe in a God, that, well, let's not have as the Hulk says, you know, a puny God. Now, like the true God of the Bible, of history, of our lives, is supreme and sovereign. But it doesn't just start there stop there with this one powerful God. But this is a God who's a source of salvation. A God who says, yeah, you know, you're rebelling against me, you're pushing against me, you're going the wrong way, and this is within you. But if you trust in me, if you turn to me, if you put your faith in Christ, I will be that salvation. And it's not anything you do, it's not the works, it's not all that. It's just faith. That I love you and I'm redeeming you. So God is the source of our salvation. Faith in Christ alone, not rules and religion and regulation. It's Christ. And in that, we have a firm foundation. That there is a firm foundation for our lives. And so, yeah, okay, there's this God up there, but there's a God right here that we can be anchored to, that we can be resting on, that we are not sinking into a pit, but we are raised up on a firm foundation for our lives. That is a God to believe in. But all of this still can be, you know, a little bit cold and hard in a big dark universe. And so there's one more thing of this one true God, and that's a friend who loves you and walks with you. And so if you want to put those on your sermon notes and hold on to that, this one true God is supreme and sovereign, the source of salvation, a firm foundation for your life, and a friend who loves you. But I purposely did this as a loop because we can get to the point where like, oh yeah, Jesus is my homeboy, and forget that, oh yeah, God is also supreme. God is worthy of all our praise and honor, and there is a fear that we are to keep in there. So we hold all of these things together of that it's a foundation, but yet overall and in all, a loving friend who is there with us in every hardship and struggle and challenge that we face, but is still the one who spoke stars into existence. So we hold all this together, but right there, I believe that this is a God worth pursuing, worth trusting, putting your entire life into God's hands. So can you believe? Can you take that step in a one true God that is all these things and in Jesus, His Son? That's ultimately the question. Jesus says, you know, who do you say that I am? And the answer given by his disciples is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Understanding who God is and who Jesus is. And when we do that and take that step of faith that he is our Savior, that he can wipe away our sins, that he can walk with us through any adversity, when we say, yes, I believe, it transforms everything. It changes your life so powerfully. And yet, you can believe and still have areas of unbelief. And that's the struggle. That's the challenge. That's that tug of war we get pulled into. Is that, yes, I believe you can cross that threshold and say, I am saved, my eternity is taken care of, and yet we are called to live right here, right now. And we can have these areas of unbelief. So when we look at this message and this account that Mark gives, you know, the disciples, well, they believed. You know, the disciples, clearly they believed. You know, why else would they have even tried to cast out this spirit, try and make this child whole, if they didn't think they could do it, if they didn't think that God's power is working in them? They're like, yes, I believe, and they hit a wall. And so, and Jesus comes, well, there was an area of unbelief in you. And he doesn't address what that was, and I don't want to really speculate on that. But here are disciples that are believing, but clearly there's an area of unbelief that's holding back the power of God that can be active. And then you've got the Father. And the Father, you know, you may say, well, you know, did he really believe? But he's the one who went to Jesus. He had enough faith to get there, to say, I believe this man that everybody's talking about could do something. And so there was a belief in the Father. But let's look at the wording of how this, you know, played out. The Father goes to Jesus and says, but if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus, you know, almost like, it's hard not to read this passage with a little bit of a snarky attitude in Jesus, but I'm not sure. I don't picture Jesus as snarky, but, you know, if you can. Why'd you say that, if you can? He's like, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. Now, what did he mean by everything? Hey, I can win the lottery if I believe. Hey, I can do stupid things and have it turn out okay if I believe. No, everything is possible. That is, once you're working within God's will, man, everything is possible. Things that you never thought could happen in your life, things that could never happen in the world, that's, everything is possible for him who believes, but you've got to be tied into the will of God and the understanding of God, and that's part of the package. But the Father is like, immediately, a light bulb goes on, and I love the urgency. Immediately, the boy's father said, no, he exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. I do believe that God is supreme. I do believe that Jesus can make this whole right here. I do believe that he cares about me. I do believe that this can be a new start for my family. But yet, there's this unbelief. So I want to just talk a little bit about that idea of I do believe, because, you know, we keep it up here. I do believe. But then it needs to show up in our lives. It shows up in how we live, the decisions we make, the steps we take. It is in action and reliance. All right, just out of curiosity, who here has ever bungee jumped? Anybody? Okay, we got one person. I've never done it either. All right, I mean, that is a leap of faith. But the closest I've come is a zip line. You know, and actually it wasn't far from here. I was at this conference center, and they had like zip line over a valley type thing. And we're doing all these trust exercises, and like, okay, anybody want to do the zip line? I'm like, yeah, sign me up. You know, and I'm a rational person. I'm an engineer. I look at things and often sort of pull out the emotional component. I'm like, no big deal. All right, clearly this is safety tested. There's a safety harness, all this stuff. So I get up there. I'm up on this platform. And then I didn't want to step off. You know, I believed, but help my unbelief. You know, I'm looking around. All of a sudden, everything is really scary. And not to mention, I decided I wanted to film it. This was before they had the, what do you call those right now? Selfie sticks, thank you. Before that, so I'm trying to hold my camera out here and hold on to this and believe that this is not going to cause my death and demise. All right? But we have that. But really, where was my belief? Yeah, I had belief up here of as I climbed up there, as I put on the safety harness, all that stuff. But when did I really believe? When I took that action step of stepping off the safe platform and trusting this to carry me to the end. And that's really what God's calling us to do is, hey, yeah, you can try and figure it out. You can think you have it all. You can say you believe in me. But there are going to be times when you're going to have to take a step of faith and say, yeah, it sounds crazy to forgive that person who really just hurt me. But God's asking me to take that step of faith and offer forgiveness. It may be crazy to rearrange my schedule so that I can have these priorities instead of those priorities that God is calling me to, of worship, of fellowship, of connection, but I'm gonna take that step of faith. It may sound crazy to say, I'm going to take 10% of my income and I'm going to give that to God before I pay the rest of my bills, but God is saying, hey, take that step of faith. Take the action and rely on me. Help my unbelief. So next week we're going to look at the idea of how, you know, that belief can make you bold. And that is a whole sermon that I want to step into of that boldness of stepping off. But first, the belief can make you whole. I just want to spend a moment on this. That you can bring every bit of your brokenness to God. And God will take that brokenness and heal it. Will make you whole. I shared about the chalice there with the kids. But there's a better example that I've done in life of where we had all these plates and we smashed them all up. And they were so broken, there was no putting them back together. But then we made a beautiful mosaic out of it. And that's more the picture of God. He's taken all your broken bits and pieces and things that you never think can work out. And when we take that step of faith and say, I do believe, God can pick up all those pieces and make something so much more beautiful out of them. God can take every bit of your brokenness, the disappointment, the challenge, the hurt, the frustration, the anger, all these things. And He wants to do that. But we have to be willing to bring it to Christ. To bring our brokenness, to admit our need, to admit we are not complete on our own, to admit our frustration, to admit our fear. And I think that's a big thing, is a fear. That can hold us back. That can be that unbelief of, but what if? But what if it doesn't work? But what if God isn't there? What if that cable snaps? But God is supreme, the foundation, the friend, and the salvation. I encourage you to cry out, help my unbelief. Because Jesus died for every part of you. Jesus didn't say, no, I just want to take the very essence of you. No, Jesus wants your whole life. He wants it all healed, all whole. And when we come to this table and we have the broken bread and the poured out blood, that is what it's about, is Jesus was broken to heal our brokenness. So as we come to the table today, I just encourage you to say this prayer of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Anyone who is seeking Jesus as their Lord and Savior is welcome at this table, and at this table we find the healing for our brokenness. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the fact that you are the one true God who is worthy of our trust, our belief, our faith. That we lay our lives before you and allow Christ to wash away the past and allow the Holy Spirit to empower our future as you, our Heavenly Father, cares for us in ways that we cannot even comprehend. I pray that each person here can know this wholeness and healing that is possible through Christ. Amen.